Well, I tell you, the song service couldn't have been designed any better, Gary, than to fit what we're going to talk about today. We're continuing in our study of the 23rd Psalm, so please be finding that. The devil wants to get you thinking negatively about God, because if he can get you thinking negatively about God, then he can do almost anything with you that he wants. Think about Eve back in the Garden of Eden. The devil came along to Eve in Genesis 3:1 and says, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" God didn't say any such thing. In Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 16, he said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." The devil has the same tactic today. Anytime he sees somebody having a good time, he wants to move in and break up the party. When people think about serving God, they think about what they have to do rather than what they get to do. It's kind of like taking bad medicine in order to get well. You don't like the taste of the medicine, but you choke it down because the only alternative is being sick. What a distorted idea of the goodness of our great God. I want to talk to you today about how to feel good about God. So let's look at Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over." First, here we have a prepared table. You know, when you come to our house, you're going to get us just like we are. We got some old warped plastic dishes with scratches all over them. That's what we eat off of. We don't ever set the table with the proper silverware. I never could get all that stuff straight anyway. We may bring the pot to the table and dip right out of the pot. But then when guests come, we put the real plates out. And Becky knows how to fix that silverware. And put the real glasses, you know, not the stuff. You know, I get my china from Fuzzy's or Dickie's or, you know. Then somebody comes and says, "Well, just take us like we are." Why do we set the table like that? We set the table like that in order to honor the special guests who've come to see us. In this psalm, David tells us that it's God who's putting on the apron. Jehovah has prepared a table for me. I'm special to him. You know, not only was there a prepared table, there's an anointed head. The next phrase says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Now, if you came to a wealthier Middle Eastern home, as soon as you came through the door, there'd be a cruse of expensive perfumed oil sitting there, and the host of that house would greet you with a kiss on each cheek and then dip their fingers in that oil and anoint your head and your cheeks with that. It's just a way of saying you're special. You're welcome here. Now, if a neighbor came over to borrow a cup of flour, get an egg or something like that, they didn't do all that stuff. It was only for special guests. You remember when Mary came and brought her expensive alabaster box of ointment and broke it so that she could anoint the head and feet of Jesus. And Simon got all upset about that. He said, man, we could have sold all that and fed the poor with it. You know what Jesus told Simon? He said, Simon, you didn't anoint my head when I came to see you at your house. Mary's showing respect to me. Not only did she anoint my head, she anointed my feet also. See, the anointing was to make you feel refreshed, to make you feel special, to make you feel good. And not only is there a prepared table and an anointed head, there's also an overflowing cup. He says, my cup runneth over. In Bible times, they didn't have hotels and motels and restaurants like we have today. They did have what they called inns. They were usually filthy and overcrowded, expensive, most of the time immoral. But there was a law of hospitality in the land. If a traveling man came to your house and asked for food, it would be absolutely unthinkable for you to let that person go on by without feeding them. The law of the land was that a stranger would be invited in for a meal. But let's suppose that he came at evening time and you've invited him in, you fed him his meal, you've done your duty, you've been respectful, been nice, but the sun's setting. And it's time for them to move on. But suppose that during the course of the evening, you'd kind of struck up a friendship with this person. Maybe they're a good conversationalist, who knows? But somehow you like this person and so you want them to stay. Well, here's what would happen. Normally, the host would take this person's cup at the end of the meal and would fill it halfway, set it back down in front of them. And that was just kind of their way of saying, mister, when you finish your dessert, hit the road. But if the host took the pitcher and filled the glass all the way to the brim and let it overflow, that was saying, you're an invited guest, you're special to me, you can stay in my home overnight. That's what David's doing here. He has prepared a table before me, so I'm special. Thou anointest my head, Jehovah loves me. My cup runs over, Jehovah is showing hospitality to me, and he's my friend. Jesus is our Jehovah. And in John chapter 15 and verse 15, he says, henceforth, I call you no more servants, I've called you friends. You don't think negatively about a friend. A friend is somebody who knows all about you and loves you anyway. A friend is somebody who goes on liking you no matter how successful either one of you become. A friend is somebody who continues to believe in you even when you have ceased believing in yourself. A friend is somebody who comes in when everybody else has gone out. A friend is a source of celebration when you've come to believe that there's nothing to celebrate. A friend is somebody who comes to your side when you call and sometimes even answers before you call. Jesus is all those things. We sang about it. What a friend we have in Jesus. He prepares a table. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Don't you let that dirty, filthy devil ever get you thinking negatively about our God. And as you think about this prepared table, let's open this up a little more. I want you to think about the fullness we have in Christ. Jesus meets the deepest needs and hungers of our heart. And I want you to realize that the Bible is one continuous feast from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. Think about all the tables that the Lord set before his disciples. Think about how the Lord fed the 5,000. He took a little boy's sack lunch and fed with a few loaves and fishes the over 5,000 people that were there that day. He prepared a table of replenishment when there was nothing but a table of inadequacy. There's no way that you can explain the miracle that happened that day apart from God. So let me ask you a question. What is there about your life that cannot be explained apart from God? If your lost neighbor can explain you, you're just like him. Only difference is you're religious. But if he can see that God is supernaturally meeting your needs, then your words become believable. There's not only a table of replenishment, there's also a table of restoration. Do you remember when Peter cursed and swore and denied that he ever even knew the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus had risen from the dead. Some of the disciples just really weren't sure about all of that. They were kind of half believing, half doubting. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Some of them went with him. Went back to Galilee. Jesus has said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from the Holy Spirit. But here they are, disobedient, disconsolate. They're out there fishing. They fish all night. They hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus calls from the shore, hey, have you caught anything? Don't you hate it when you're fishing and you're not having any luck? And some nutcase, hey, you catching anything? No, I'm not catching anything. These are professional fishermen. And Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. Oh, yeah, right. Like that's going to help. They cast the net over there and said they couldn't. They had to call another ship in to help them get the net up. It was so full of fish. Peter knew it was Jesus. When that miracle happened, he said, it's the Lord. And he threw off his fisherman coat and he jumped off the boat and into the water and went to shore. Swam over to meet Jesus. And when he got there, what had Jesus done? He'd prepared a table, had some grilled fish, some fresh bread. I understand where he got the fish there by the Sea of Galilee. Where'd that bread come from? I don't know, but I know what I'd like to think. I'd like to think he just took some of the stones along the seashore and turned those into bread. You remember out in the wilderness when he was being tempted? It's like Jesus under his breath is saying, I'll do it when I want to, not when you want me to, Satan. And so he just turns those stones into bread. You know how hungry you'd be if you'd been out there all night fishing, working so hard, working on those nets, and breakfast time comes, you're hungry. You're not just hungry, you're angry. And so Jesus says, come and dine. Thou preparest the table before me. Not only a table of replenishment, but a table of restoration. Have you ever failed him? You may not have cursed and denied him like the Apostle Peter did, but however you failed him, he still says the same thing. Come and die. Before he was crucified, he sat down with his disciples at a Passover meal and broke the bread. He passed the cup around and he said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you do it. There's not only a table of replenishment, a table of restoration, there's a table of remembrance. Redemption. But you know what? The best table's yet to come. Jesus said, I'm not going to drink of this cup again until I drink it with you in the kingdom. Where's that going to be? At the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord's preparing another feast right now, just like he always does. One of these days we're going to sit down at a table up yonder. He'll come and catch us up in the air to meet him where he is, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to sit down at that table. Don't you get to thinking negatively about God. The Bible doesn't describe our salvation as a funeral. It describes it as a feast. There's the fullness we have in Christ. Thou preparest a table before me, but I also want you to think about the freshness we have in Christ. Thou anointest my head with oil. There ought to be a refreshing, a sweet aroma, a sweetness about serving the Lord. What I've learned after 40 years of preaching is that the word excites me more now than it did at the beginning. Not only do I know more about it now, but I'm getting closer to the promises. I can see more clearly the reality and the beauty of Jesus Christ. Don't you let that sorry devil get you thinking negatively about our God. There's another thing in this verse that makes me feel good about God. Not only the fullness of Christ and the freshness of Christ, but the freeness of Christ. My cup runneth over. When he gives so freely and so lavishly. You know, our God is the God of an open hand and an open heart. He's not stingy. He doesn't hold back. What did Jesus say in John chapter 10 and verse 10? He says, I've come that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. Not only does he add years to your life, he adds life to your years. When Jesus turned the water into wine, John chapter 2, you know how much wine they had left over that day? If you go back and study that story and read what scholars say about it, they had about 120 gallons. Their cup overflowed. Let me give you another example. When Jesus fed those 5,000 with that little boy's lunch, that was wonderful. But after he finished feeding the 5,000, what does it say? There were 12 baskets full left over. My cup runneth over. When Jesus speaks about peace, he doesn't just speak about peace. He talks about a peace that what? Passes understanding. My cup runneth over. When he talks about joy, he didn't just speak about joy. He talks about a joy unspeakable, overflowing, full of glory. My cup overflows. When the prodigal son came back, it says they killed the fatted calf. Not just any calf. The best one. I think his brother was ticked off because that might have been his FFA project calf. But anyway, they fed the best calf. And says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He's not talking about necessity here. He's talking about luxury. Out of his infinite fullness, he just keeps on giving and giving and giving. Have you ever thought about God as a giving God, about him being a lavish God? Freely you have received. From the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't measure his blessings drop by drop. No, our cup runs over. There was a lady went to the bank to cash a check. The teller cashed it for her, and she got the money, and she sat there and she counted the money. And then she counted it again. Then she counted it again. And the teller says, "What's the matter, lady? Is it all there?" And she says, "Just barely." Well, it's just like God to throw in a few extra bucks. Our cup runneth over. God doesn't measure his blessings, and we ought to be like that. Jesus says, "Freely we have received, and freely we should give." I know people that when their cup runs over, they want a bigger cup. What do you need a bigger cup for if your cup's overflowing? You remember the farmer who had such a bumper crop? He said, "I have no room to store my goods." He says, "I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger ones." In other words, I don't want it to run over. I don't want it to bless anybody else. I want it all for me. No. Freely you have received, freely give. Let it be a blessing to someone else. We have fullness in Christ. He prepares a table. We have freshness in Christ. He anoints our head. We have freeness in Christ. Our cup runs over. So don't you let that dirty, nasty, rotten, filthy devil get you thinking negatively about our God. I just want you to hear Jesus saying, "I've prepared a table for you. Come and dine." And if you'll apply those principles that I just gave you, you can't think negatively about our God. He's a giving God. I mean, think about it. You remember the little lady who came to the temple that day? You know, and the Pharisees, they'd come in, they wouldn't write a check. They wouldn't give in cash. They'd give coins. You know why? Because they had a brass container that when they put the coins in, they'd drop them in one at a time so everybody could hear how much they were giving. They were getting all the reward for themselves. Little lady came in, all she had was half a penny. She dropped that in, and Jesus said to his disciples when he got home that day, "I just saw the greatest offering I've ever seen." They got excited. "How much was it, Lord?" He said, "Half a penny." What do you mean the greatest offering? And I don't look at what's in the cup. I look at what's on the check stub. She gave everything she had. And here we are, over 2,000 years later, still honoring that woman for her sacrifice. You're sitting in a building right now because of the sacrifice of some people that went before you. You're sitting on a padded pew, walking on carpeted floors in an air-conditioned building because somebody gave till it hurt. When are you going to be like that? You say, "I don't have much to give, Pastor." Neither did that lady in the temple that day. But she gave all she had. You think the Lord let her starve to death after that? Fat chance. Freely you have received. Freely give. Gary, come. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this would be a good time to get to know him. Maybe you already know him and you realize that maybe you haven't openly given like you should. Maybe you need to come talk to him about it. Maybe you begin to realize a lot of the other blessings he's put in your life, and maybe you've been neglectful about thanking him for it. I don't know what need the Lord's, or what kind of message the Lord's putting on your heart today, all I can ask you to do is whatever he's saying to your heart, just be obedient to it. That's it. That's it. Gary, what are we going to sing?
We're going to sing 349.
349. Let's stand. If you need to come today to do any of those things or something else, you just come. The altar's open. You come as we sing.
You know, when Brother Gary was preaching, I thought of another verse which goes right along with God blessing us, and it's out of Malachi. It says, "Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there is not shall not be enough room to receive it. My cup overflows." So that's true. Okay, y'all sit down a second. We'll come up and read it.
I've read it to our ladies at a devotional thing that we had one time, but I just think that we need to think about this. So it said, "I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much because I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessing and the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I'll remember times when things went wrong. My faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and sun peeped through again. So, Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings because I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed."
Man, thanks for sharing that. That's so true, isn't it? Who has not been blessed? The staff and the finance committee met yesterday to look at the financial numbers, and they don't look so good. January's giving last month was about half of what we had a year ago. So what we need is, if you see people that are missing around you, give them a call this week and invite them back to church. If you've got friends and that are looking for a church, invite them to church and help them to ask them to come and help us bless other people and spread the gospel. You hear the gospel every single week when Brother Gary preaches. And you know there are folks that need to hear that. There are people that need to be saved. So I want to pray for Glenn. I want to pray for George. They're having surgeries tomorrow, so let's just bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with an overflowing cup. Lord, you are extravagant. You give us more than we would ask for, more than we deserve, and we thank you for it. Lord, we want to lift Glenn up to you and George. They both have surgeries this coming week. We pray your blessing on them. We pray that you be with the doctors. We pray that their hands will be steady, that you would guide those hands. Everything would be done perfectly, Lord, and the result would be glorious, that they would be healed and relieved from the pain that they're experiencing. And we just put them in your hands, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician. Lord, bless our church. Bless our members this week. And help us, Lord, to share your word and encouragement to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one.
Bless you.